ინგლისური ენის ტესტის მოსმენის დავალება. ინგლისური ენის ტესტის მოსმენის დავალება. იმ შემთხვევაში, თუ ჩანაწერი ცუდად ისმის, გთხოვთ ახლავე აცნობოთ მეთვალყურეს. თქვენ მონიტორზე დაინახავთ მოსმენის დავალების შეკითხვებს. გთხოვთ მოუსმინოთ აუდიო ჩანაწერს და ისე შეასრულოთ დავალება.
Task 1. Listening. You will hear an interview with an actor, Antonio Banderas. For questions 1 through 12, fill in the gaps with one or two words. You now have 45 seconds to look through the task. You will hear the recording twice.
In today's program, we talk to Antonio Banderas, a Spanish-born international film star. So, Mr. Banderas, how does a Spanish-speaking actor become a successful Hollywood star?
Well, when I left Malaga in the 1980s to become an actor, I never dreamed of making it in Hollywood. When I got there, everyone said that as a Hispanic, I would only ever be offered roles as the bad guy. Also, when I was making The Mambo Kings, my first movie, I spoke almost no English, but cinema has opened the world of possibilities for me.
What kind of parts were you never offered in Hollywood?
Sadly, in all these years, I've never been given the chance to do science fiction, and I have a huge soft spot for the genre. No one wanted a guy with a heavy Spanish accent on a spaceship.
Over your long career in Hollywood, have you managed to change anything there?
I am proud to say that I succeeded in overcoming some prejudices. As Zorro, I was the first Spanish actor with a Spanish accent to play a good guy who is up against a blonde, blue-eyed bad guy. In general, my characters carry an important message. You can speak English with an accent and still become a hero.
Did you suffer from culture shock when you arrived in the United States for the first time in the early 1990s?
No, because basically I'm good at adapting. Maybe this is the great skill of all actors, to take the temperature, learn the lines, and fit in with the scenery. Coming to America was just like that. I was already familiar with the American way of life because everything I saw there I'd already seen in American films. The yellow cabs, the skyscrapers, people coming out of grocery stores with paper bags in their arms.
In 2008, you played one of the most famous painters of all time, your fellow countryman Pablo Picasso. How did you come to get that role?
The life story of Pablo Picasso has always fascinated me, and I have so much respect for this man. I've always felt some strange connection with his persona. Picasso also comes from my birthplace, Malaga, the most beautiful city in Andalusia, Spain. Picasso left Malaga practically at the same age that I did. And although he found fame in Paris, France, he never lost his Spanish roots. I turned down multiple offers to play Picasso in my 20s and 30s, but it was impossible to say no this time. Accepting the role was a big challenge, but I decided this was the time to take Picasso's complex story and paintbrushes in hand, literally.
How did you train for the painting scenes?
Well, to get inside Picasso's skin, I bought canvases and started painting. I took painting classes and copied two of his paintings. I wanted to do it to be familiar with all the tools, brushes, and oils and everything, so it wouldn't be strange when I started painting in front of a camera.
Which period of Picasso's career does the film depict?
The 10-episode drama series focuses on the 33-day period in which Picasso created his famous anti-war painting, Guernica, which depicts the destruction of the town Guernica during the Spanish Civil War. I also painted my own version of Guernica, which is over 3 meters high and almost 8 meters wide. I spent a pretty agitated 3 months, almost feverishly filling the canvas with those panic-stricken creatures. Well, yes, it was a great opportunity to discover the man as great as Picasso.
Did you always want to become an actor?
As a boy, I was crazy about football, but I broke my leg when I was 14, putting an end to my dream of becoming a professional athlete. I became interested in the stage after seeing the stage production of the musical Hair, and then I immersed myself in Pedro Almodovar's universe.
Meeting Almodovar was a real turning point in your career. How did the two of you meet?
I remember everything about our first meeting. It was the summer of 1980, and I was working at the National Theater in Madrid. It was an hour before a performance, and I was sitting with a group of actors outside of the theater in a cafe. And up comes this guy with a red briefcase. He orders a drink, cracks some jokes, and when he's about to leave, he looks at me and says, "You have a very romantic face. You should be in movies. Goodbye." And with that, the guy is gone. When he left, I turned to my friends and asked, "Who was that?" And they said, "Oh, that's Pedro Almodovar." A couple of weeks later, Pedro came to the dressing room and offered me a role in his film, Labyrinth of Passion, my first movie with Pedro Almodovar. And that was just the beginning. We've made 8 films together. Our latest, Pain and Glory, marks the 8th and most touching collaboration between us. Pedro helped me create my personality as an artist and mentally opened me up to the world.
What's your philosophy of life?
As a genuine Andalusian, I'm quite convinced that the only certainty in life is death. Everything else is relative. That's why I try to use my time as well as I can. I take life with a pinch of humor, because humor is the most important element of our lives, which we absolutely need to survive. In fact, I think that comedy is one of the most serious things you can do in our day, especially in the world that we're living in.
Mr. Banderas, thank you so much for your time, and we appreciate your interview today. In today's program, we talk to Antonio Banderas, a Spanish-born international film star. So, Mr. Banderas, how does a Spanish-speaking actor become a successful Hollywood star?
Well, when I left Malaga in the 1980s to become an actor, I never dreamed of making it in Hollywood. When I got there, everyone said that as a Hispanic, I would only ever be offered roles as the bad guy. Also, when I was making The Mambo Kings, my first movie, I spoke almost no English, but cinema has opened the world of possibilities for me.
What kind of parts were you never offered in Hollywood?
Sadly, in all these years, I've never been given the chance to do science fiction, and I have a huge soft spot for the genre. No one wanted a guy with a heavy Spanish accent on a spaceship.
Over your long career in Hollywood, have you managed to change anything there?
I am proud to say that I succeeded in overcoming some prejudices. As Zorro, I was the first Spanish actor with a Spanish accent to play a good guy who is up against a blonde, blue-eyed bad guy. In general, my characters carry an important message. You can speak English with an accent and still become a hero.
Did you suffer from culture shock when you arrived in the United States for the first time in the early 1990s?
No, because basically I'm good at adapting. Maybe this is the great skill of all actors, to take the temperature, learn the lines, and fit in with the scenery. Coming to America was just like that. I was already familiar with the American way of life because everything I saw there I'd already seen in American films. The yellow cabs, the skyscrapers, people coming out of grocery stores with paper bags in their arms.
In 2008, you played one of the most famous painters of all time, your fellow countryman Pablo Picasso. How did you come to get that role?
The life story of Pablo Picasso has always fascinated me, and I have so much respect for this man. I've always felt some strange connection with his persona. Picasso also comes from my birthplace, Malaga, the most beautiful city in Andalusia, Spain. Picasso left Malaga practically at the same age that I did. And although he found fame in Paris, France, he never lost his Spanish roots. I turned down multiple offers to play Picasso in my 20s and 30s, but it was impossible to say no this time. Accepting the role was a big challenge, but I decided this was the time to take Picasso's complex story and paintbrushes in hand, literally.
How did you train for the painting scenes?
Well, to get inside Picasso's skin, I bought canvases and started painting. I took painting classes and copied two of his paintings. I wanted to do it to be familiar with all the tools, brushes, and oils and everything, so it wouldn't be strange when I started painting in front of a camera.
Which period of Picasso's career does the film depict?
The 10-episode drama series focuses on the 33-day period in which Picasso created his famous anti-war painting, Guernica, which depicts the destruction of the town Guernica during the Spanish Civil War. I also painted my own version of Guernica, which is over 3 meters high and almost 8 meters wide. I spent a pretty agitated 3 months, almost feverishly, filling the canvas with those panic-stricken creatures. Well, yes, it was a great opportunity to discover the man as great as Picasso.
Did you always want to become an actor?
As a boy, I was crazy about football, but I broke my leg when I was 14, putting an end to my dream of becoming a professional athlete. I became interested in the stage after seeing the stage production of the musical Hair, and then I immersed myself in Pedro Almodóvar's universe.
Meeting Almodóvar was a real turning point in your career. How did the two of you meet?
I remember everything about our first meeting. It was the summer of 1980, and I was working at the National Theater in Madrid. It was an hour before a performance, and I was sitting with a group of actors outside of the theater in a cafe. And up comes this guy with a red briefcase. He orders a drink, cracks some jokes, and when he's about to leave, he looks at me and says, "You have a very romantic face. You should be in movies. Goodbye." And with that, the guy is gone. When he left, I turned to my friends and asked, "Who was that?" And they said, "Oh, that's Pedro Almodóvar." A couple of weeks later, Pedro came to the dressing room and offered me a role in his film, Labyrinth of Passion, my first movie with Pedro Almodóvar. And that was just the beginning. We've made 8 films together. Our latest, Pain and Glory, marks the 8th and most touching collaboration between us. Pedro helped me create my personality as an artist and mentally opened me up to the world.
What's your philosophy of life?
As a genuine Andalusian, I'm quite convinced that the only certainty in life is death. Everything else is relative. That's why I try to use my time as well as I can. I take life with a pinch of humor, because humor is the most important element of our lives, which we absolutely need to survive. In fact, I think that comedy is one of the most serious things you can do in our day, especially in the world that we're living in.
Mr. Banderas, thank you so much for your time, and we appreciate your interview today.
Task 2. Listening. You will hear 4 people talking about their experiences of learning several foreign languages. From the list, A through F, choose what each speaker, 1 through 4, says. Use each letter only once. 2 letters are extra. You now have 30 seconds to look through the task. You will then hear the recording twice. Speaker 1.
I love learning languages so much that I learn a new language every 2 years. I'm currently working on my 8th one. When people find out about me, they always ask me, "How do you do that? What's your secret?" They want to know why they are spending years trying to learn even one language, never achieving fluency, and here I come learning one language after another. The answer is simple. Polyglots simply find ways to enjoy the language learning process. We all seem to have different learning styles and our own way of learning a language. All of us use different methods to learn, but we always make sure it's something we personally enjoy.
Speaker 2. When I was learning Spanish, I was bored with the texts in the textbooks. I wanted to read Harry Potter instead, so I got the Spanish translation of Harry Potter and started reading. Sure enough, I didn't understand almost anything at the beginning, but I kept reading, and by the end of the book, I could follow it almost without any problems. So you can definitely make it happen once you find an effective method, which you can use systematically over the period of some time. Don't expect results overnight. The secret to success is that you simply don't give up. You just have to be persistent and try to find ways how to turn language learning from a boring school subject into a pleasant activity which you don't mind doing every day. Speaker 3.
I've always been fascinated by languages. It all started with Italian, and today I'm fluent in 5 other foreign languages. The truth is that the more languages you know, the easier it is to learn another one. You already have the confidence of success, so it becomes easier for you to take risks. Interestingly, I behave differently depending on which language I'm speaking. It's true that your personality changes when you change language. For example, when I meet a German native, suddenly I become a more direct person because German sentences are packed with active verbs. But when I meet someone who speaks Persian, a language that tends to be more polite and courteous, I suddenly lean into that personality.
Speaker 4. My method is to start speaking from day one. I learn a few phrases from a travel book and go to meet native speakers. I don't mind making even 200 mistakes a day because that's how I learn, based on the feedback I get. And there is nothing that motivates us more than our own success. I vividly remember the moment when I understood the first joke in German. I was so happy and proud of myself. I had more and more of those moments of understanding, these little victories, and step by step, I could use the language freely and fluently to express anything. This is a wonderful feeling. I can't get enough of that feeling, and that's why I learn a language every 2 years. Speaker 1.
I love learning languages so much that I learn a new language every 2 years. I'm currently working on my 8th one. When people find out about me, they always ask me, "How do you do that? What's your secret?" They want to know why they are spending years trying to learn even one language, never achieving fluency, and here I come learning one language after another. The answer is simple. Polyglots simply find ways to enjoy the language learning process. We all seem to have different learning styles and our own way of learning a language. All of us use different methods to learn, but we always make sure it's something we personally enjoy.
Speaker 2. When I was learning Spanish, I was bored with the texts in the textbooks. I wanted to read Harry Potter instead, so I got the Spanish translation of Harry Potter and started reading. Sure enough, I didn't understand almost anything at the beginning. But I kept reading, and by the end of the book, I could follow it almost without any problems. So you can definitely make it happen once you find an effective method, which you can use systematically over the period of some time. Don't expect results overnight. The secret to success is that you simply don't give up. You just have to be persistent and try to find ways how to turn language learning from a boring school subject into a pleasant activity which you don't mind doing every day. Speaker 3.
I've always been fascinated by languages. It all started with Italian, and today I'm fluent in 5 other foreign languages. The truth is that the more languages you know, the easier it is to learn another one. You already have the confidence of success, so it becomes easier for you to take risks. Interestingly, I behave differently depending on which language I'm speaking. It's true that your personality changes when you change language. For example, when I meet a German native, suddenly, I become a more direct person because German sentences are packed with active verbs. But when I meet someone who speaks Persian, a language that tends to be more polite and courteous, I suddenly lean into that personality.
Speaker 4. My method is to start speaking from day one. I learn a few phrases from a travel book and go to meet native speakers. I don't mind making even 200 mistakes a day because that's how I learn, based on the feedback I get. And there is nothing that motivates us more than our own success. I vividly remember the moment when I understood the first joke in German. I was so happy and proud of myself. I had more and more of those moments of understanding, these little victories, and step by step, I could use the language freely and fluently to express anything. This is a wonderful feeling. I can't get enough of that feeling, and that's why I learn a language every 2 years.
This is the end of the listening part.
Მოსმენის დავალება დასრულებულია.